we're going to have to try to create a great deal more media literacy for folks to be able to distinguish between the work of Glenn Greenwald, for example, and of reporters who adhere to professional journalism ethics of trying to maintain some sort of impartiality in their reporting. And Glenn Greenwald is an advocate of a particular point of view. And he's also done some excellent reporting. And I mean, I don't seek to diminish the importance of his disclosures, but he is not following traditional journalism ethics, and he's proud of it. I mean, he thinks that there was an interesting debate between him and Bill Keller, the former executive editor of the New York Times, on the Times pages recently, where they went back and forth on this particular issue.
Can I say something in response to that?
Sure.
Briefly? First of all, I think Glenn does follow journalistic ethics. And I mean, I would challenge the notion that the New York Times regularly follows journalistic ethics. I mean, the fact is that when the U.S. had a spy in Pakistan named Raymond Davis, who shot and killed two people in Lahore, Pakistan, the New York Times discovered that he, in fact, was a CIA contractor and continued, knowing that he was a CIA contractor, to report that he was a diplomat at the embassy who was essentially a passport stamper. This isn't a case of them not knowing exactly who he was. It was that the government said, we don't want you to report that he's CIA. Fine, I understand that. But instead of simply saying, okay, then we're going to leave it vague, they took what the government wanted for propaganda value and promoted an entirely false story. The New York Times allowed its pages to be used as a conveyor belt for the lies of the Bush administration leading up to the Iraq War. So, you know, when you're going to hurl around the phrase traditional journalistic ethics and then, you know, put it as the debate is between Bill Keller and Glenn Greenwald, I would question Bill Keller's ethics. Also in how he handled the WikiLeaks story. They totally threw their sources under the bus there and engaged in a smear campaign after using WikiLeaks to sell newspapers. So, I mean, to me, there's a real debate about what journalistic ethics even are. I don't think that large corporate media outlets actually are the sort of golden, you know, cow of objectivity. I don't believe there is a such thing as objective journalism right now.
Well, I would just say, if I may just say in response, I mean, I don't know the details of the particular Pakistan case that you talked about. And I don't defend what the New York Times did in their journalism, Judith Miller's journalism in the run-up to the Iraq War. I thought that was a very poor job of journalism. And I think Bill Keller eventually apologized for that. But I do think that, I mean, traditional journalistic ethics, the journalistic ethics that are ascribed to by professional journalism organizations do include an attempt to be impartial, objective, to put aside one's personal feelings. And I know this is becoming – and one of the changes in the landscape is this is becoming something to make fun of or thought to be passé. And I happen to think it's important because if you look at Greenwald's reporting, I think it's very clear his opinion and his public statements about his reporting is very clear that his opinion affects what he says. I mean, he says these are clearly illegal and unconstitutional surveillance by the NSA. It's not at all clear. And it's been approved by – most of these programs have been approved by all three branches of the government. So I think his advocacy reporting affects – what do you write?
Is James Risen of the New York Times an advocacy journalist?
I know him a bit. I wouldn't make that claim. I don't know enough to. I mean,
if you saw his recent appearance on CNN, he sounded exactly like you're describing Glenn Greenwald. And I mean, this is the thing. I think there's a double standard, and people say, well, you know, because Glenn Greenwald expresses his opinions in this way, that somehow that makes him have a poor relationship with the truth or with the facts. And I simply disagree. I think there's a lot of advocacy journalism. It doesn't get labeled as such because it advocates on behalf of the state.
Do you want to get in on this?
This is Lance Bennett. I think this debate is exactly where we are today with ethics and news standards. And I commend the listeners to go back a couple of weeks and read that debate between Keller and Greenwald because it was a much more developed version of this discussion. Here's what I think is going on is the legacy press, the New York Times, the Washington Post, whatever it may become, has established relations with mainly official government sources over years and cultivated those sources. And there's been a conflation of objectivity and political power. So that basically those who are in power and in positions to determine outcomes like invading countries or deciding bills in Congress have the loudest voice in the press. Now, they may not always be exercising good judgment, as we know from various kinds of government failures. And I mean, the American people are not happy with their government these days. But the establishment press has been positioned to report what officials say. If democracy is off track, most Americans think it is, then that leaves the conventional press with some soul-searching to do. And the apologies that came after the Iraq War by all the major papers, with the exception of the McClatchy Group that kind of got it better, were well-meaning, I guess, because they looked so bad. But the point is that when the next big scandal came along during the Iraq War, the Abu Ghraib and the torture issues that became important, to challenge the values of the American democracy, the press reported the Bush administration lying again. I mean, it was a report as an isolated case of unfortunate abuse on the part of a few poorly trained soldiers and contractors. And so the whole issue of torture did not come up in the U.S. press, importantly, until after the 2004 election, in which John McCain turned on his own president and said, if you don't fix this problem, I'm going to lead a majority in the Senate against you. And that's how power works in objective journalism. And I think that if we don't sort that out, objective journalism is going to find itself looking much into the rearview mirror of history and not catching up with whatever you want to call it, advocacy journalism or simply truth.